Imagine a sunny day on the beach, captured on grainy home video. You see a young, blonde-haired boy kneeling on the sand. Then you hear his mother.
I want you to run over there by the water, because it's going to go all the way into the water this time. Okay, you ready?
The boy appears to be preparing to catch something. He's getting into position near the water's edge, and then a frisbee flies towards him.
Here it comes!
I'm going to catch it!
Okay, Matt!
It could be a typical moment for many families, but this child is anything but typical. As the waves lap behind him, Maddie Christian hobbles quickly along the beach on his knees. Maddie was born without a tongue and without fully developed limbs. His right leg ends just above the ankle, his left ends above the knee, and neither of his arms extend much beyond his elbows. But despite what appears at first glance to be a limitation, Maddie runs and picks up the frisbee. This is just one of many remarkable scenes from Raising Maddie Christian, a new documentary about the Canton boy and his family. Now, Maddie died suddenly when he was only 25 years old, but his short life affected many, as you'll hear in a conversation my co-host Anthony Brooks recently had with the film's director and producer, Christian D. Resendez.
In the film, we see Maddie's parents, Allie and Jerry Christian, describing their son's birth. So let's listen to that. You'll hear Maddie's mother first. Her name is Allie.
They tell me they have to prepare me for some news.
They said we don't know if he'll live, if he does live. We don't know what type of a life he's going to have.
You know, we're in shock. Like, we're not understanding any of this. They actually put him in my arms, and I hold him. I knew I loved him, but I was like, I don't know, I'm scared. I don't know if I can raise this kid.
It's their first child. Very scary, very unexpected situation. And yet when you see this film, I'm so impressed with the way his parents rose to this challenge. Can you talk a little bit about this? How did they handle this?
I think it was a little bit of a baptism by fire. I really don't think they knew exactly what to do other than just to make him adapt into normal society and having to do these things, having to do what everybody else had to do. They didn't want to give him special treatment necessarily.
Yeah, they really wanted to mainstream him, make sure he got on the school bus with other kids, went to classes with other kids. So here's Allie, Maddie's mother, again, explaining how she worked with him to become independent. And then it's followed by some home footage of Maddie learning to put on a t-shirt when he's very, very young.
You know, every now and then I'd sit back and I'd watch and I'd see that he was frustrated, but I'd say to myself, I think this is good for him. See him problem solve. See him do these things. He figures out a way to do them in a different way.
You got the sleeve, Matt? There you go. That's it. Beautiful. And the second you got to let it shake down, that's it.
Boy, Allie really comes across as the rock in this film. Can you talk a little bit about her, about Maddie's mother? Because, I mean, of course, we don't see everything, but what I was struck by was just how sort of unsentimental and just how firm but loving she was toward her son always.
Allie just has a strength about her that's all her own, and that's something that I think translated to Maddie very clearly as he grew. Certainly. And so, you know, there's also another aspect that comes out in the film that he didn't complain very much. He internalized a lot. So I think that was a negative in some cases, but actually a positive to a lot of people.
Let's hear from Maddie Christian from the film. We mentioned that he was born without a tongue, but he had an operation that did allow him to speak. He doesn't always speak so clearly, but he could express himself very clearly. He learned to swim at the Massachusetts Hospital School. He later worked there. And he did everything that other staff members did. He changed diapers, picked children up, put them in the pool, put them in bed. So here's tape from a local news interview with Maddie talking about working at the school.
I look at some of the other kids who go here. I'm so much more fortunate than them. Nothing against them, but I just know that I can do a lot more than them. And a lot of people don't look at me as handicapped once they know me.
A lot of people don't look at me as handicapped once they know me. And I got to say, that's what I took away from the film. I mean, clearly this kid had a handicap, but it didn't define him at all. He's clearly an athlete. He learns to play soccer. He learns to skate. He even pitches in Little League with the help of a really unusual prosthetic arm. He becomes a high school wrestler and then a college wrestler at Bryant University. But his real passion and talent was for swimming. He even qualified for the Paralympics as an alternate. Tell me about his athleticism.
Right. He did not let his limitations define who he was. And I think that, you know, with us, when we stand back, we look at him, we're like, oh my God, limitations. How does this kid get up in the morning? How does he function? How does he... But, you know, when you got to know him in his everyday circumstances, you admired him because he blended in just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And yet, as he grows older into his young 20s, he becomes depressed and starts drinking a lot. Can you talk a little bit about that struggle?
He internalized a lot. And I think to a certain degree, you know, all of his friends and family knew this, but they probably didn't think it would result in what it resulted in.
Right. Right. So, and we should talk about how he passed. This was in January of 2009. He was in Killington, Vermont with a group of friends on a ski trip, and he accidentally overdosed on alcohol and oxycodone, died that night. Very, very sad, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He was only 26. He had overcome so much, and yet he couldn't overcome this depression that overtook him.
You know, there are a gazillion different ways to look at it. And the way I prefer to look at it is this happened for a reason. This happened. So one fragment of it is that this story got told.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people can get inspired by the story, whoever sees it. You know, his death is a horrible thing, but we have to look at how he lived.
And you make this point really well in the film through some footage from the community of Canton after he died. And here are two of those voices talking about Matty Christian. Let's listen.
I think Matty Christian made people better people. I think Matty Christian made teachers better.
We can teach the technique, we can teach the moves, but we can't teach heart. You know, we can't teach that. We can't coach a kid to have will. They've either got it or they don't.
There's so many themes in this film: love, perseverance, the extraordinary things a person can do. What lesson do you take away from Matty's story and his life?
There are so many, but I think that the biggest one: get up and go. Hmm. You have nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
And that's putting it very simply.
That's Christian D. Resendez. He's an award-winning documentary filmmaker from Rhode Island. His latest film is Raising Matty Christian. Christian, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
D. Resendez spoke with my co-host Anthony Brooks. Raising Matty Christian will be screened tomorrow night at the Woods Hole International Film Festival. You can see a trailer and read more about the movie on our website, radioboston.org. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. All Things Considered is next. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.